Who are we to pass judgment upon one another? Weak Christians, stumbling Christians, Christians that are trying to grow in Christ-likeness. Who are we to judge them? Because we are totally incapable of presenting a believer faultless before God, aren't we?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, we hope you're having a great Friday, and thank you for tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the New Testament epistle of Romans. Today, Pastor concludes the message, "Let us receive one another." Let's listen in.
Just one beer, but I'm going to get it with my meal. Or you go to your favorite Mexican restaurant, you know, Mi Casinos or whatever it is. I don't know. Julio's. The Mexican Inn. I like Mexican food. Mercado Juarez. You know what I mean? Oh, I can enchilada ole. Their chicken enchilada, their verde chicken. Oh, I got an amen. You'll never be the same. But here's the thing. If you are a strong believer, you walk in and you order something, the enchilada ole, and you say, and give me that margarita with that, would you? Listen to me. Oh, and you do that in public. Are you in trouble? Yes, you are. Why do you say that, Bill? Because what if a weak believer that knows you, and he comes in, and he sees you doing that, do you think it's going to have an effect upon his life? You better believe that it is. Listen, you know, if you just think if he came in and this, here he was, he's been saved for a month or a year or whatever, but he was a drunk or an alcoholic or whatever before he got saved. And here he comes in and he says, I never want to touch it. I can't even smell it. I don't even want to go where they sell it. And here he comes and he sees you and he's looking up to you. And all of a sudden he sees you sipping on a margarita. He goes, I don't understand. It hurts him. You know, listen, just because you think you feel that you have liberty to do something, it doesn't mean that you should do it in public. And it certainly doesn't mean that you should ever do it to cause a believer to stumble in their life. Amen? We don't want to ever do that. I mean, listen, you know, some of you, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, let's take smoking, cigarettes. You know what I'm talking about? When I was a kid, you know, I didn't go to church at all. I mean, I didn't even know what church was, okay? But the thing is that I would pass church. I'd drive on my bicycle, you know, and go past. And, you know, everybody was outside after the service over, and what were they doing? They were smoking, man. It was like, I thought it was hell and brimstone. I didn't know. And, you know, and they're sitting there. And then, you know what? It was common even back then in the 50s, okay, for even the pastor to be smoking. It wasn't really frowned upon. But, you know, do you smoke cigarettes? I know some of you do. Some of you, the thing is, I mean, well, maybe you chew Redman tobacco. I don't know. Or maybe you vape. I don't know. What's that called? Vapor? Oh, you guys. Well, if you do, keep your vaping to your own self and don't do it in front of a believer. Amen. Yeah. And then one day God will deliver you from that. You know, I read a story not too long ago. In a book that I was reading, and it was these Christian ladies. They came there, and they were upset with these two teenage girls in the church, and they were upset because they did not wear hose to church. You know, nylon hose, I guess. And so, you know what these ladies did? They were upset. They went to their pastor. They walked into his office and told him. And you know what he said to them? He said this. He said, "Ladies, did you know that the Virgin Mary never wore hose?" And he said, "And the first women to ever wear hose were prostitutes in Italy." That's my kind of pastor. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it's about what you wear. Who do we really, I mean, does it matter if you have a suit on or not? No, it's okay. If you want to wear a suit, wear a suit. But don't say everybody has to wear a suit. You know, I've heard comments about our church here at Calvary. They wear flip-flops sometimes to church. Whoa, man, I know it. They need to wash their feet. You know, are they, what's the other one? Are they, they wear shorts. Oh, dear God. Or they wear those jeans and they're all ripped up. I'm going to wear one next Sunday. Or this, or the, like that one person said, well, I know the end is near. I came to the Calvary Chapel church service and their pastor, I saw him. He doesn't wear a suit. Do you see how horrible that is? Listen, what did Jesus say about that? Listen to what he said in John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Listen, you know what? We are to dress appropriately. We're not to be immoral dressers. Amen? But dear Lord, do you think God really cares if you show up in a suit? You know, I would really like to preach in tennis shoes like the rest of the Calvary pastors, but see, my conscience won't let me. I mean, you know, we're from all different backgrounds. Think of Kevin. He used to be a Buddhist. I mean, you know. But, I mean, here he is now. I'm sorry. No, listen. Look at verse 14. I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, meaning vegetables or meat, any kind of food, you know. But to him who considers anything unclean, if they consider it, well, to him it's unclean. It's a conscious thing. Yet if your brother is, this is very important, if he is what? Grieved. That word means seriously upset. If he's hurt in his heart, if your brother is grieved, why? Because of your food, because of your pork chop, okay? Because of whatever. It says, you're no longer walking in love. Now listen to this verse. Do not destroy. That Greek word means don't bring this person to ruin. Do not render this person uselessness. That's what this word destroy means. Do not destroy with your food, with your pork chop, whatever it might be, the one for whom Jesus, our Lord, our Christ, died. Now listen carefully. It is one thing for a believer to be hurt or wounded by an unbeliever. But it is tragic whenever a believer, a strong believer, hurts a weak believer. It is so painful. I mean, I remember, listen, do you know I had, this is a true word, and his relative is sitting in here right now. He's probably listening to me right now on the radio or wherever live. Johnny Molly. Johnny Molly and I went to school together. He's been here twice, I think. I'll never forget the first time he showed up. He came right up to the pulpit, and he looked at me. He says, Billy, he says, do you know who I am? And I said, Johnny Molly? He said, that's right. He said, I just had to come all the way from Dallas because I can't believe that you, of all people, have been saved. You know what I mean? I love him. He's a good man. He loves the Lord, buddy. You know, but what I'm saying is he had a right to say that because he knew me in high school. He knew, bad Billy, hello. But here's the thing. You know what? A Christian, a strong Christian, can go to a young believer and tear them to pieces, make them feel that God doesn't love them, make them feel that God, God will never forgive you this time. Look what you've done. Make them feel so small they want to crawl out of the church and never come back. Make them feel like they're never going to make it as a believer. That's wrong. That is sin. You hear me? That is sin for someone to do that. Especially when they do it and what they're saying to that person is not found in God's word. And the Bible says for us to what? Speak the truth in love. It also says in Galatians, ye who are spiritual, not you who are a bunch of legalists, ye who are spiritual, the person has fallen, restore him with gentleness. Restore, that word in Galatians 6:1 that I'm quoting, means he's broken. It's a medical word, like a broken bone. Go gently and put that arm back in place. Make him useful again. Amen? Amen? That's what we're to do. Oh, but to hurt one, that is so sad. Listen to me now. Unloving, legalistic Christians have done more harm and caused more hurt to believers than unbelievers have. What a sad thing. Why have they done that? Well, you know why? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says knowledge, what? Puffs up, swells, okay? Knowledge puffs up, makes one arrogant. But love builds up one another. Listen to me. You can be a believer, a strong believer, okay? And you can really be very mature in your knowledge of God's word and be very immature in your walk of love. You can also, you know, you can be very strong in doctrine. Boy, you know the doctrine, okay. But you can be very weak when it comes to loving and guiding and helping one another. Someone put it this way. They quoted, they said, some Christians grow, others just swell. That's what it means to be puffed up. What did Paul say about knowledge? Just having knowledge. He says in 1 Corinthians 13:2, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could even remove mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. Literally, like the Amplified Bible says, I am a useless nobody if I don't have love. Listen to me. Knowledge plus love. Knowledge plus love equal truth communicated. That is so important that we do it that way. The strong believers in the church at Rome, listen, they were using their knowledge, but they were doing it without love. Have you ever noticed something about knowledge? Knowledge doesn't have feelings. Knowledge doesn't have a bunch of emotions. Matter of fact, using knowledge alone, you know what can happen? It can make us very harsh in our dealings with other people, with each other. You know, knowledge must always be mastered, the Bible knowledge, mastered by love. Love never fails. Amen? Love covers a multitude of sins. Faith worketh by love. Boy, I tell you, love is the answer because God is love. Amen? Now, with all that being said, look at verse 15 again at the bottom. Do not ruin, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. You know, I'm sure that Paul the Apostle, he was Jewish, as you know, but he understood the dietary laws. I'm sure that he would, I think he would probably eat pork if he wanted to. But he would never do that in front of a brand new Jewish believer. Do you understand? That's what it's saying here. Now, Jesus, man, listen, he gave up his life for this person, the weak believer. So listen, surely we can give up some kind of food if it offends my brother. Is that correct? Absolutely. Look at verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good, meaning the liberty that we all have in Christ, be spoken of as evil. In other words, don't let it be a bad witness. For the kingdom of God is not about eating. It's not about drinking. It's not about food, in other words. What's it about? It's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I tell you, loved one, it is a sad day when believers reduce the kingdom of God to some sort of dietary preference. No, the kingdom of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rule, the reign of God, all these things will be added unto you, Jesus said. No, listen. The kingdom of God is about living right before God. It's about walking in that peace. This talking about unity, the peace of the church. Peace and joy, those are both fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants us to do. And it's all done by living through and by the power of another, the Holy Spirit of God. Look at 18 now. For he who serves Christ in these things, meaning the verse we just covered, is acceptable or literally pleasing to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and pursue the things which one may edify one another. Boy, what a wonderful thing. We're going to all say, what do? I just want to have peace, all of us. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:11 that he himself, meaning Jesus, is our peace. We're to pursue. That means to go after that kind of peace. And we're to go after to build one another up, not tear one another down. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:3, it says, being diligent to keep or to guard the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what God wants us to do. Verse 20, here it comes. Do not destroy. That word means tear down. Do not tear down what? Look at it carefully. This is very vital, this scripture. The work of God, tear it down for what? For the sake of food. All things indeed are pure. Talking about food, okay? They're pure. But it is evil for the man who eats with offense. In other words, deliberately. It is good, or literally better, neither to eat meat, neither to drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother does three things. You cause him to stumble, you cause him offense, or is made weak. This verse is so important. Loved one, listen to me. Never, 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 never tear down the work of God. What does that mean, the work of God? It means a believer. Philippians 1:6, it says, we have confidence that God, he who began a what? Good work. Okay, listen, believers are a good work from God. Verse 15 that we just read a moment ago said, for whom Christ died. Oh, listen, to tear down, to cause to stumble, to make another believer weak, listen very carefully. If you do that, I'm not saying anyone here does that, but if you do that, listen, you are now sinning against Christ Jesus. You say, Bill, I don't believe that. Whenever Paul was on the Damascus Road and the Lord approached him and says, Saul, Saul, why are you kicking against the goads and so forth? He said, and he says, well, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus. And he says, why are you persecuting the, not the church? He says, why are you persecuting me, Paul? What was Paul doing? He was like a wild animal going out locking men and women and children into prison if they didn't recant the name of Christ. Jesus didn't say, why are you persecuting the church? He said, why are you persecuting me? Why? He's the head of the church. We are his body. Are you with me? So when we do things against other believers like that on non-disputable matters, I mean, something that doesn't even pertain to the Bible, boy, what are we doing? We're wounding our Lord, and we definitely don't want to do that. It says, do you have faith? It says, do you have faith? Strong Christian, do you have liberty? That's what he's saying. Do you have liberty to do certain things, to eat certain things, to drink certain things? Do you have that kind of liberty? He says, have it to yourself before God. In other words, not before your weak brother, not before your weak sister. He says, and happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, or literally in what he is doing. Now listen, if you do things and you feel condemned, then you better stop doing them. Amen? Yeah. Verse 23, for he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Why? Well, because he does not eat from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Everything that doesn't spring from faith, the Bible says, is sin. Now listen, if you can't do whatever you're doing, you know, if you can't do it in faith, don't do it. The just shall live by faith. If you believe that it's a sin to eat pig's feet, and then you eat pig's feet, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I mean, you've just sinned. You've not sinned because eating pig's feet is sinful in itself. It's insanity, but that's, you know, it's okay if you eat. I'm not judging you. It's not a sin to eat the meat. You've sinned because you did something that you knew that yourself and your conscience said, this is sin. This is wrong. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what is our answer? Our answer to this dilemma, which is not a dilemma at all, is found in the next seven verses of chapter 15. Quickly look at Jesus, our example. Watch this. We then that are strong, the strong believer, what should we do? We ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. We need to help one another. We need to help the weak believer, not condemn them. You know what I mean? Not down look our noses at them. Let each of us please his neighbor for good, leading to edification. In other words, we're to build up people in the body of Christ, not tear down people, believers. For even Christ didn't please himself, for as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Here it comes now. May the God of patience, the God of comfort, grant to you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind, one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, live in harmony with one another, which brings glory to God. And here's our answer to this entire sermon. Therefore, receive. Say that word. Receive. therefore receive, therefore accept, therefore welcome one another, from the weakest to the very strongest. Welcome one another, and it tells us how we are commanded to do so. It says, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Listen, how did he receive you when you came to him? Were you a mess? Yes, we were all lost. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. We are all growing in Christ's likeness. Do you understand? Some of us are bearing fruit 60-fold, 30-fold, some of us 100-fold, but we're all going to get there because God is going to get us there. But we don't ever look down our noses at someone, our believer. We want to love them and help them. Listen, Jesus has accepted us. Forgiven people are a forgiving people. Amen? A forgiving people. I'm going to say something, and I say this tenderly. If you are always judging others, you do not have a true biblical understanding of forgiveness. You don't understand at all. You don't even understand your own forgiveness. If you grew up in a legalistic church and then had a legalistic father and mother, that you were, in other words, the only way to please your parents is conditional love. Conditional. You do this and I'll love you the right way. You understand? You grew up in a church, well, if you don't do this, God doesn't love you. And I've heard that. Listen, that is a lie. God loves you. And you can't change God's love for you. He hates sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. You understand? And oh my Lord, I look at this and I say, God help us. Because you know what that is? That is a religious spirit. Always cutting other people down. Look at that dress. Look at that. Look how short that is. Look at that makeup. Look at this. Look how look at that. No, you need to quit looking at them and look to the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. He's the one who saved us and died for us and who is coming for us very soon. Amen. It says here, Jesus, just like he did, accept us, received us. I truly believe with all of my heart, the reason I did not come to Christ as a little boy was because the way legalistic Christians treated me. I had them call me white trash. And, you know, I guess I was pretty trashy. I remember Becky and I were talking this morning. She said, do you remember back in the early days of the church when we were on the west side? And she said, do you remember that morning that mom called and said, I really want to bring my children to church, but my children, I don't have a suit for them. I said, what? I said, ma'am, I don't care what they wear. You bring your children to church. Are you listening to me? I believe the reason I didn't come to the Lord, I wanted to do what was right. I didn't know what love was. I wanted to be loved. But those mean-spirited Christians who didn't understand, I know they were sincere. They really were, but they didn't understand forgiveness. They only had a works righteousness. They never told me that if I would just simply believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with my mouth that God has raised him from the dead, and he would save me right there in that lousy condition that I was in. But they never told me that. Boy, that's a tragedy, isn't it? Tragedy. I'm telling you this morning, I don't care what condition you may be in. Oh, I mean, I do care, but God doesn't. He doesn't want you to stay in that. Maybe you're addicted. Maybe you're doing, I don't know. Maybe you're just messed up. Maybe if you're not saved, listen, and you're going, Bill, I don't know how I even got to this church today. What? I'm telling you, God loves you. Jesus will receive you unto himself. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will save you. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit. He will change your life. The church may leave you, believers may leave you, but Jesus Christ will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you if you come to him.
Pastor Bill's study continues on our Monday broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. And we want to thank you, as always, for listening to Love Never Fails. We pray that you have a great weekend. So long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us
for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.